Let's pray. Jesus, we're thankful that you came to earth and that by your coming we could have relationship with you. And so, Jesus, we pray that as we enter this season of Christmas and we begin thinking about all things Christmas, that it would be focused totally on you. And it's easy to get distracted and sidetracked by Black Friday and family gatherings and all the other things that happen at this time of year. But tonight we want to reflect again in a fresh way on your coming, on what you did, on who you are. You are God with us. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so tonight, things are going to be a little different. And this makes a weird sound when I move it. And we are going to, we're going to start off by just talking a little bit about the Bible. So you're used to the message being at the end and all that kind of stuff. And some of you like that because then you can leave when it gets boring. But we're going to put it at the beginning. So you're going to have to miss all the good stuff when you get if you get bored and leave, okay? I'm sorry. So it's kind of a self-serving strategy to make sure that you stay. And we might do this more often just to make sure that you guys don't leave, which no one really does. I'm just kidding. So it's Christmas season, and that's exciting, and Rebecca and I got Christmas started off early this year. Our house has been decorated since like November 1st, and this is the first time we've ever done that, and we intend to do it every year from now on, because it takes the stress out of the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because usually by the time Christmas Day comes, I am tired of the decorations, and I am ready to take them down on December 26th. And so Rebecca and I every year have the same discussion about how long we have to leave the Christmas stuff up. Because seriously, on December 26th, I could take it all down and put it away and move on to the next thing and I would be good to go. And so if we put it up November 1st, it gives us a longer period of time to enjoy it. And this year, I get to take it down on December 26th, which is both of us win. Christmas stuff for a longer period of time. It comes down after Christmas when I'm tired of it. It's perfect for everybody. And so Christmas for us has already been happening, but I really don't think the beginning of Christmas sinks in for me until I make my first trip to Toys R Us. And we love going shopping for our kids, and it's really fun. And I had an interesting experience at Walmart. There were some guys there that apparently don't get out much, and they were excited beyond belief about the toys at Walmart. And I got to tell you, the toys at Walmart are pretty sweet, and we bought Jackson a really cool thing at Walmart, and it was really cool. But so they were talking about how many toys there were at Walmart, and they were so excited about the fact that they were there. And I'm like, this is really awkward that we're having this conversation in the toy aisle. And there's a kid that's like 14 or 15, and he says, "You know, Dad, you should buy me toys still. I like toys. Doesn't everybody like toys?" And this lady overhears them, and she says, "You guys should go to Toys R Us. They have a lot more toys." They were like, "You're kidding." It's like it had never sunk into them that anywhere other than Walmart sold toys and that anywhere could possibly have more toys than Walmart. But it's true, because then we went to Toys R Us with all of the other people who have children in the world, and it was insane. It was a Friday morning and there were a million people there and everyone was going everywhere and everyone had a shopping list. See, I'm an organized guy, okay? I'm glad Rebecca's here. I can say this and you guys won't think I'm talking bad about her. It's okay. But Rebecca sometimes drives me a little batty with the list that she makes. And so we have a list of what we're getting our kids for Christmas. And not only that, but we have a list that we passed along to Rebecca's dad and my parents of things that they could buy. And so our list is special because our list is all the things that are in bold and it tells where we're going to get them. And Rebecca has memorized how much it's going to cost us. And so I think that's a little kooky, honestly. And Gretchen's saying, "Me too, yes." And so if you're like that, thank God for you, and I'm sure your spouse loves you. And I was walking around Toys R Us, and I was shocked at all the other parents doing the same thing. They had lists of paper buying a bunch of stuff for their kids. And we left at the end of the day and we didn't spend a fortune. And I actually looked at some of the other people and how much stuff they had in their cart. And it made me feel better about us, that we weren't buying as much stuff for our kids. But as a parent, it's challenging for us to make sure that the reason for the season stays Jesus. And it's easy for me to say that, pointing at my kids, making sure that they understand. But then I wonder how much we get lost in why we celebrate Christmas. It's so easy to get caught up in all the stuff that goes along with the Christmas season and to lose sight of why we're celebrating Christmas in the first place. And so I am curious this evening what some of your favorite Christmas memories are. And now I've just set it up where if you say something about toys or something, everybody's going to make fun of you and you're not a Christian or whatever. But really, I want to hear your favorite Christmas traditions. What are some of the things you guys shared with people during the greeting time? Somebody yell something out. Yes. I haven't done that forever. That is very fun. Cutting your own Christmas tree. That's awesome. Christmas vacation style, right? Yes. Sledding. I like that too. Awesome. Going to see family. A chocolate orange. Can anyone else relate with that? Wow. Anyone else never heard of that? Yes. Thank you. I thought maybe I was out of touch for a second, but really I'm not. Anyone else? Grandma's hot spice cider. The spiked kind or the kid-friendly kind? All right. Spiced, not spiked. Okay. Awesome. As we grow into adults, which all of us in this room are, we look back at Christmas and we have things that come to mind. Things that make us feel good about Christmas. You know, I grew up in a house where, I don't know how many of you are in the same boat as me, we didn't have a fireplace. And so first of all, I wanted to know how in the heck Santa Claus got in our house when we didn't have a fireplace. And secondly, I didn't ever get to experience sitting in front of the fire and having the stockings on the chimney or on the mantle. Our stockings laid on the floor underneath the Christmas tree, all right? So everyone has a different perspective. And so those of you who have gotten married, you have joined forces with someone else and you have had to learn what Christmas means to them. There are traditions, there are normal things that they do that you have to begin to try to understand and figure out. And they have to somehow come together and allow you to create your own Christmas. And we could sit here all night and all of us could talk about all of our favorite Christmas traditions. And that would be fun. I would enjoy that because some of them would be really entertaining and some of them would be something worth instituting into our own family. But there's one constant about Christmas that I think we need to continue to focus on no matter what the other stuff is. And that's the reason that we're celebrating Christmas. And that's because of Jesus. And it goes without saying when you're sitting in this room and you came to church tonight and it's Christmas and somebody's going to talk about Jesus. And the answer is yes, we are. Because without Jesus, that is all fine and good and fun, but it has no real significance. The Christmas story, as Abigail read, was one of the most defining moments in human history. And the other would be Jesus' resurrection. And so we are embarking on a journey of anticipation of one of the most important days in the Christian calendar. And instead of this year letting it get lost and becoming just something else we do with our family and just another time off work or another time off school, this year I want to challenge us to really be focused on Jesus during the Christmas season. And so I want to continue reading where Abigail left off in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And in this passage of scripture, we see the first Christmas. And we see how different people responded to the birth of Jesus. And so I just want to make three quick observations about Jesus' birth and how we can respond to it. The first one is this. Herod responded by worshiping with false pretenses. His words were, go and search diligently for the child. When you found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him. And this Christmas season, many of us would say the same thing. We will say that we want to worship Jesus, but we say it because we're sitting around other people who are like-minded, other people who would say the same thing. It's like in here we have that understanding, but when you get outside, maybe your whole viewpoint on Christmas changes. The way you approach it is different. The things you would say about it are different. All of us are worshiping something in our lives. We worship teams. We worship people. So Rebecca and I have nurses that stay at our house quite a bit. And they come overnight sometimes. They're there during the day sometimes. They're helping care for Camden. And one of the things that we've done to give them something to do so they're not bored and rifling through our things is we've given them a stack of magazines. And so my mom purchased some magazines for them to have, and so we have People magazine. And it is shocking to me that anyone cares about anything that is in People magazine. I see it, and I see the headlines, and I think, really? Someone's actually going to look at this? And then Entertainment Weekly comes every week with some junk about something, and I have a really hard time caring. For example, this week, how many of you know who Taylor Swift is? Raise your hand if you know who Taylor Swift is. Audience participation, that's great. Have you seen a picture of Taylor Swift dressed in a man's tuxedo? It's creepy. And I don't know why you would ever want to open the magazine after you see that. I had to ask Rebecca, who is this? I didn't even recognize who it was. And so most of us know these people, and some people begin to worship those people. Today, we had the Chiefs play, and lots of us like to worship the Chiefs. And what do we do when the Chiefs score a touchdown? I'm about to put someone on the spot because they had the best response. And I really hope I don't get in trouble. Amanda Pierce. All right, show me what you did. What do you do when the Chiefs score? You're like, yes, the Chiefs score. We're excited. She was the one who showed the most excitement in this room. How many of you are excited that the Chiefs beat the Broncos? Yes, that is a good thing. And so we get excited about our teams. I happen to be a KU basketball fan. Notice I didn't say football. I'm glad football season's over. And when basketball season gets here, I'm excited about KU sports. We worship something. And we can tell what we're worshiping by looking at the way we spend our money and the way we spend our time. It's really easy to tell. You want to know what you worship? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? Herod was worshiping with false pretenses. His idea was, I'm going to say I'm going to worship, and I'm going to get what I want back. And many of us approach our lives the same way. We worship for the wrong reasons. We worship because we hope that if we do, if we give our time and our energy to God, that he's somehow going to make our life better. Wow. If that's our motivation for worshiping God, we're in trouble when something doesn't go our way. We worship God because we want to keep up appearances. You know, one of the things I love about being with this group of people is that I know that most of you are not here because it's the thing to do and you're checking the church box, but you're here because you want to worship God. You want to develop your relationship with Jesus. You want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That's a refreshing place to be. But many people will go through their lives saying, yes, I'm a Christian, and yes, I go to church, and yes, I check the box. And they're worshiping for the wrong reason because they're trying to keep up their appearances. The first response is to worship with false pretenses. That's Herod. Don't do that. The second way that we can respond is to worship with joy. Worship with joy. Matthew 2:10. I love what this verse says. It's never really sunk in for me exactly what this verse said until this week as I was spending some time reading it. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. When is the last time you rejoiced exceedingly with great joy? Can you name that time? When's the last time you rejoiced exceedingly with great joy? I was at the Big 12 championship game in 2008 when KU won the Big 12 championship. And I was in a friend's basement when they won the national championship that same year. And I can tell you that at that moment, I rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And I bet that most of you can also point to a time in your life outside of the four walls of the church when you rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. But here's what I wonder. How many of us have ever rejoiced exceedingly with great joy in response to something God has done for us? When our response is one of worship and not just emotion and happiness. Has that ever happened to you? You've rejoiced exceedingly with great joy? Shouldn't that happen every week when we come into the church? That we rejoice exceedingly with great joy? We don't have to go to church. It's not an obligation. Being here is not something that you have to do. It's something that we choose to do. And the thing I love about this community, this group of people, is that I see things happening among this group that cause me to rejoice exceedingly with great joy, because I flip through the pages of Scripture and I see in Acts chapter 2 that people are coming together and sharing what they have that's in common and meeting the needs of the people that are in their community. And I see people doing that in this group. And I see in Acts chapter 4 where they're coming together and they're praying and they're reminding each other that the reason for everything that they have is because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And because of those reminders, God is moving in those communities in Acts. And I see that happening here. Those things make me rejoice exceedingly with great joy because God moves in this community. When's the last time you rejoiced exceedingly with great joy? And if you haven't, you need to find a reason soon. Something to get excited about. A reason to rejoice exceedingly with great joy. The third thing, and this is kind of where I want to spend a little more time, is that we can worship with worth. Worship with worth, and you might be thinking, that makes no sense to me. And don't worry, I'm going to explain it to you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So, if you don't know me very well, what I'm about to tell you is going to be news to you. And those who do know me are going to be like, yeah, no kidding. So I'm going to let you in on a little bit of insight into the life of Ryan Schreckengast, what Rebecca has to live with, okay? I like the newest, best, coolest thing. So do you want to know the guy who was waiting in line at 5 a.m. to make sure that he got his iPad the day it came out. That was me. Do you want to know the guy who watches Steve Jobs' presentations every time a new product is released on some sort of Apple thing, even if I can never afford it, never want it, and never use it? That would be me. Because I love to have the newest and the best and the greatest. And so I got up at 6 o'clock one morning this summer, and I went and stood in line at the AT&T store and waited in line for several hours to get my iPhone 4 because I like having the cool new thing. I like those kind of toys. That's the stuff that's exciting to me. And so you wouldn't be surprised to know that some of the things I'm about to show you on the screen are things that I would have loved to get my hands on. The first one, these are Christmas things that people went nuts over a few years ago. Okay, the first one. Anybody know what that is? Tickle Me Elmo. Anybody get one of those for Christmas when they were crazy popular? Yeah, that's awesome. And your parents paid $6,000 for it, and you sold it in a garage sale for a quarter. Oh, nice. That's awesome. So Tickle Me Elmo, it was the craze a few years ago, right? Everybody had to have the Tickle Me Elmo, and they were spending hundreds of dollars on them on eBay, and people were going crazy in lines trying to get their Tickle Me Elmo. And guess what? The week after Christmas, you could have bought any Tickle Me Elmo in the world for like $19. But people go crazy when it's something that they have to have because it's the newest and the coolest and the best. Here's something else that caused quite the stir. A Wii. You guys remember that a few years ago? Everyone had to have the Wii. They were going and waiting in lines at all hours of the night, and there were fights in Best Buys over the last box. And people lost their minds trying to make sure that they got the last Wii. It's crazy talk. And even last year, this caused lots of people to lose their minds. Juju pets. They're mice, y'all. They're miniature mice. There is no reason anyone should ever be that excited about a little mouse. That's not right. And so we went over to my parents' house last year, and my dad had bought like 8 of them on eBay for like $250 or something absolutely insane. And he gave some to my younger nieces, and my son Jackson saw that, and he had to have one of those Juju pets. And so my dad went and gotten his Juju pet collection that apparently he keeps now, and he brought one and gave it to Jackson, and he played with it for precisely 4 seconds before it got boring. And so what is Juju doing this year? They're releasing the pirate version and the version that fights each other so the boys will like them better, right? These people know what to do in order to get us to go crazy. How about this year's biggest, best thing? Does anybody know what that is? What is it? Sing-a-ma-jig, right? It's the sing-a-ma-jig. Ellen DeGeneres made this crazy popular. She showed on her show, everybody has to have a sing-a-ma-jig. It is the most popular toy for Christmas 2010. Am I going to buy one? I'm not, because it's really weird. But I would like to buy one just to say that I have one. Part of me would. We look at our Christmas wish list over the past several years, and it looks something like that. Those are the types of things that we went crazy to buy for people. But yet, at Christmas time, we're often willing to give Jesus just a little something. I love the significance of the gifts that were given to him by the men that came. They gave him gold, demonstrating his worth as king. They gave him frankincense, showing his divinity, and myrrh, foretelling his death on the cross. And yet, many of us will go through many Christmases throughout our life and not give Jesus something that is of worth. We like to get and give things that are valuable, right? So I turned 30 a couple years ago, and I thought that would be a great opportunity to get a great present from people. And so it worked. So what happened, I don't like getting, this thing from one person, this thing from another. I like for them to talk to each other. And I like for them to go and get me something bigger and better, right? And so I talked to everyone I knew, and they came together, and they bought me the set of golf clubs that I really wanted. And the student ministry came together and bought me the driver for my set of golf clubs that I really wanted. Because I didn't want something kind of piddly because I'm selfish. I wanted something bigger and better, right? What if our gifts that we gave really pointed towards who someone is? The wise men came and they gave Jesus something that told who he was. They gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they meant something to who Jesus was. What if we gave gifts that really reflected who someone is? What if instead of giving my kids Legos and I don't know what else we got them, I forgot. I was too enthralled with the experience of being at Toys R Us. What else did we buy? A pirate ship? Yes. What if we forgot about all of that stuff and we really focused on getting things for them that would point them to becoming who we wanted them to be? Last year, we decided that it would be a great idea for Jackson to, instead of getting a bunch of stuff and not giving anything, we allowed him to pick something that he would like to give through World Vision to a family in Africa. And so we gave some chickens to a family in Africa. And so this year we got all the catalogs back in and all this stuff. And this year we made a different decision. Instead of doing that, we're giving gifts through Calvary 88.5 that are going to be given to kids that are in Children's Mercy Hospital on Christmas Day. We've been there. We know what that's like. And so we want to bless other families that are a part of that. And so instead of just focusing Jackson and Camden on this is what you're going to get, instead we're also pointing towards some places that they can give. We want them to become godly men who look out for the needs of others and not just for themselves. And so we're giving them opportunities to do that even at Christmas. What if we did that with everyone in our lives? What if we gave fewer Starbucks gift cards? And we gave more opportunities for people to sit together and share life and challenge each other to grow in their faith. I love that following Jesus isn't easy. And, you know, I was telling somebody that we're starting our Christmas series, and they're like, so what are you talking about? Are you talking about hope or love or joy? I'm like, those things are all awesome. But you know what we need to talk about at Christmas time? We need to talk about following Jesus with our whole heart. We need to talk about being fully surrendered to who Jesus is. Galatians 2:20 reminds us, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Jesus who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we are not sacrificing in order to live our life for Jesus, then we're not doing it right. If following Jesus hasn't cost us something, then we're not following him closely enough. And if that means that it's costing me a few presents so that I can invest in someone else, then so be it. But if it means that it costs me something far greater than that in order to make sure that I'm giving everything I have to Jesus, then that's the command that we've been given in Scripture. And what better time is there to be fully focused on following Jesus than at Christmas time? Following Jesus costs us everything, but in return, we receive way more. We get victory over sin and death. We get joy and peace that surpass anything that we can possibly understand. Following Jesus is not easy because it requires a complete sacrifice of who we are, but that's who Jesus is calling us to be. So what I want to do right now, I just want to take a couple minutes. And I want to give you some practical tips on how to keep Jesus at the forefront during Christmas. And not get lost in all the other stuff. Now don't hear me saying that all the other stuff's bad, because I like it as much as you do. But I am saying that we need to make sure that Jesus is in front of all of it. And so I have some tips for you, but I'm going to let you give the tips instead. Okay, so what we're going to do is you're just going to yell out some tips that maybe come to your mind, maybe things that you wish you had done differently or things that you have seen done that help keep Jesus at the forefront during the holiday season. This is the practical application part of this message. And instead of me practically applying it for you, we are practically applying it for us. Doesn't that make better sense? Okay, let's do it. Some of you are really uncomfortable. That makes me feel good. I like that. I'm not going to lie. Love it. Something pops out that you're like, man, that's good. You might want to write it down. That'd be a good place to start. Or store it in your brain or something. I like it. Good. Cool. Yes. I would like to see him as baby Jesus, actually, but usually. And his father-in-law picked out the role for him, yes. I like it. Before presents or something like that. Keeping the scripture at the forefront too, yeah. This is where I hit the pause button. And I ask for feedback from single people. Ready, set, go. Cool. Celebrate Christmas with you and your friends and family, and that's awesome. It's a great idea. Awesome. One more. Yes. I will never forget the Christmas when I was like 10 years old that I got the ugliest shirt I've ever seen in my life. And I threw a gigantic fit and I got in tons of trouble. And I don't want my kids to be that kid. Yeah, that's good. Far better thoughts about how we can do that than I ever could have given you. But for each of us, the reality is that keeping Jesus at the center is difficult in some fashion. We get busy, we get stressed out, we get overwhelmed with doing stuff with other people. The traditions kind of loom heavy on what we're supposed to be doing and focusing on Jesus. But this Christmas, can we resolve as a community of believers to keep Jesus at the forefront of what we're doing? Can we just say that we want to worship Jesus fully during this Christmas season? See, there's this really unexplainable dichotomy, and it came to life for me this summer. Our air conditioner broke like 6 times. And every time it broke, it got so hot. It was like on the hottest days that it chose to break, of course. And so the guy comes over and he's looking at our air conditioner and he says, well, we can do one of two things. We can either leave it off and I can come back in 48 hours, or we can turn the heat on and run it full blast and try to melt the block of ice that's inside the main trunk, and then the air conditioner will start working. And so in order to get cool, we had to turn the heater on in our house, and it was like 90 degrees in our house. I'm not exaggerating. And there's this dichotomy that in order to get to one place, we have to do something that's counterintuitive. It totally doesn't make sense. And worshiping Jesus is the same way for me in a lot of ways, because it's in that place of ultimate surrender when I'm giving everything to him that I am most in control. It's when I've given it all to Jesus that I actually have a chance of things working out the way that they should or I want them to. And so this Christmas, our challenge to you is to keep Jesus first. And we're going to have an opportunity to worship through music, and the band is going to come, and they're going to sing some songs, and we're going to have an opportunity to worship along with them. And what we're going to do is, before the band comes up, we're going to pass out, we're going to pass some buckets. And in those buckets, you can drop your offering. No, just kidding. We're not taking money. We're giving you something. Instead of putting something in the bucket, we want you to take something out. And in the bucket, you will find a devotion book. And it's a little book that's designed specifically for the Christmas season. And we want you to take that with you when you leave this evening. And we want you to spend time this week and the following weeks to make sure that Jesus stays at the forefront in your life during the Christmas season. And so they're devotions, meditations, based on the Christmas story and how we can make sure that Jesus stays at the forefront. And so during this time of worship, if you think, man, I just need to read scripture, or I need to check out what this book says, or whatever that is, you guys can go ahead and come up. If you need to do any of that kind of stuff, you can do that during the time of worship. Or you can sing, or you can pray, or you can do whatever you need to do. But let this time be a time where you're consecrating yourself. You're setting yourself apart to say to Jesus, you are going to be first this Christmas season. One of the cool things about Christmas to me is it's a reminder of the peace that Jesus brought into the world. And last week, we lit the candle of hope. And this week, we want to acknowledge that Jesus coming to the earth and us being able to give ourselves fully in worship to him is the place that we find peace. And so this evening, we are going to light the candle of peace. Let's pray. Jesus, allow us to experience your peace this Christmas season. Allow us to know you and understand the significance of your coming. Jesus, we want to be a people that are passionately sold out to you, who abandon our own wishes, our own desires, because it's in you that we find peace and rest and hope. And so we pray that this holiday season, that our desires, our traditions, our wishes would not crowd you out, but that we would welcome you in. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.